This is Global Patriot Radio.
Welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the Don of Dissenting Discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show, with liberty and justice for all. I'm Vito. Our call number tonight at every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that no pork eating America lover, Al. Good evening, Al. How are you doing?
I am terrific, Vito. Great to be here, as always.
Yes, it is. It's always great to be here, where we should be on Monday nights at 6 p.m. And I want to say hello to Bigfoot, our big patriot. Go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Great blog spot. He's got his Monday blog up. And, of course, he stated on his Monday blog, and by the way, happy Valentine's Day, which is part of the blog. It says, on a sunny but cold Monday, which is also Valentine's Day, here are some things going on. So check out Bigfoot's place.blogspot.com. Great blogs, international stories, stories all over the world. We got Gulf Dogs in the house. And, of course, we got Sue from New Mexico. Happy Valentine's Day to all. Happy Valentine's Day, Sue. Special one to you. What a day, huh?
What a weekend. Day. I tell you, did you watch the Waste Management Open?
Well, I did. The Phoenix Open, sponsored by Waste Management, is the customary golf tournament during Super Bowl weekend. So that was a perfect segue, Al. The tournament drew like 700,000 people over 5 days. Saturday alone, they had 215,000 spectators. Saturday. One day, 215,000 spectators. If you haven't watched it before, hole number 16 is a par 3. It's the most raucous hole in golf. Forget about it. If there's a hole-in-one on that hole, there's absolute chaos. It's hysteria. It's the loudest venue in all of golf. Every shot is met with either boos or applause and cheers, depending on the tee shot. And Al, as you and I were discussing, texting back and forth, on Sunday, there were two holes in one this past weekend for the first time in like 20 years. Saturday, the first hole in one in like 20 years was hit. The crowd went nuts. They were throwing all kinds of debris, which I don't agree with, by the way. I mean, I got an issue with that one. I you know, it's one thing for everybody to go nuts and ballistic and yell and scream. I thought it was great. but then to be throwing water bottles and debris onto the green and in the bunkers and in the I didn't like that. That stuff's never going to happen at Augusta. But anyways, not taking anything away from Sam Ryder, who had the first hole-in-one on Saturday at Waste Management. The crowd went nuts. On Sunday, Carlos Ortiz of Mexico, he nailed it as well, 178-yard, 9-iron. The crowd went wild. They were throwing bottles and debris, water bottles and debris onto the green, into bunkers. It's one thing for 20,000 people in the stands surrounding a par three to go crazy, but to throw stuff, you know, it caused a 20-minute, you know, cleanup delay. I don't mean to be a stuffed shirt, but what did you think?
I thought a hockey game. I was at a hockey game. It was wild. But yes, I agree with you. Throwing everything onto the course, just not cool. But hey. You got a lot of people. What did you say? How many were there? Like, 2 million?
No, it was 20,000. We're at the – just at that hole was roughly 20,000. There was 250. There was 200 – 250,000 were there. 215,
right.
215 on Saturday alone. So
right, and there was 214,997 people unmasked and drinking heavily. It was a party.
So you mix
alcohol and a hole in one in a gladiator type coliseum setting. If you didn't watch it, all around hole 16, they've got three to four layers of people to watch what's going on at the hole. It was a recipe for chaos and pandemonium.
And you know, it's funny. Even guys who are generally stoic and unemotion, don't show no emotion during the course of the year, they get to hole 16 and they hit a poor shot. Like, I thought about it on Saturday, Patrick Cantlay hit a poor shot and they started booing him and he started laughing. I mean, it wasn't poor. It's just that it was like 60 feet away on the green or it missed the green. But, you know, they started booing and he enjoyed it. He actually started laughing. And it's funny because it's the only venue where you can get away with booing a player's shot.
Hey, the crowd was brutally honest. They knew it coming.
Yeah.
It's just something interesting and different. But
it is. But hey, the tournament was great. Scotty Scheffler came from behind to birdie hole 17, and he tied the lead with Patrick Cantlay. Both Cantlay and Scheffler had makeable birdie putts on the 18th hole in regulation to win the tournament, and both missed their birdie putts. It sent the tournament into extra innings. On the third playoff hole, both players hit the green in regulation. Scheffler had a 26-foot putt. Cantlay had about a 13-footer. Scheffler goes first. He drains his putt dead center, just an absolute fantastic putt. It looked like it was not going to make it, but it did, dead center. Cantlay was forced, you know, to make his putt to continue the playoff, and he missed it. Missed it out to the right, I believe. And he was kind of surprised, which I agree. But Scottie Scheffler gets his first PGA Tour victory and a 2-year exemption. You know, this young man's been knocking on the door for the past 2 years, and yesterday he walked in during the Ryder Cup last year, late in the season, September. He, in the singles, he waxed world number one John Rahm like seven holes to five. I mean, just absolutely, you know, took advantage, and he put himself on the map even more. And for Scottie Scheffler, in my opinion, to back up the play in the Ryder Cup, to come out and win early in the 2022 season just tells me that I think this young man is good for the game. He'll win a lot, and he just probably needed this one tournament to break through. So it was really cool to watch, and it was cool to watch his emotions at the end while he was embracing his wife after the win, because you know how much the win meant to him, especially his first win. And the one rising star that's not going to get mentioned much is Sahil Theegala.
Sahil Theegala.
He had the lead for a couple of days, and man, he has just had some bad bad luck at the end. I mean, hole 17, the short 293-yard par 4, he hit a freaking 2 rescue short of the green, and it just – it was so hot, it ran through the green, it over to the back and into the water, and that was the end of his tournament. And he took it pretty bad at the end, but you know what? Love the emotion from him. I don't care what anybody says. If you know the game of golf, if you're hitting a 2 rescue 293 yards and you go in the water, you got nothing to be ashamed of. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I got one of those in my bag. I can't do that. So I was very impressed. But he was a rookie, and congratulations. Like you said, he was in the lead for 3 days and 15 holes, and then he had one hiccup, like you said, and that was all she wrote. And Scheffler came up from behind and took the win. So with an unbelievable putt, like you said, it was great golf.
It really
like
was.
Golf, that was good golf. Yeah.
And it extended past the start of the Super Bowl because, of course, yesterday was Super Bowl Sunday. And if you're still into the NFL and football, Super Bowl was played yesterday in Los Angeles, the Cincinnati Bengals versus the L.A. Rams. So it was pretty much like an L.A. home game. And I'll tell you, the woke NFL didn't disappoint. They had to go through their BS woke, and they had to play the Black Anthem. One analyst on ESPN this morning called it the Black National Anthem. And here we go. Here we go. There's one anthem in the United States of America, and it is the national anthem. It is the Star-Spangled Banner. But you know, to the NFL and the woke crowd, you got to play all of them. They played God Bless America. They played the national anthem. And now, of course, they have to play the Black Anthem. This is, you know, it's not racist to play the Star-Spangled Banner by itself. It's not a sign of oppression. E pluribus unum, out of one, many, okay? Or out of many, one. I mean... The Marxists, the communist movement in America must find a way to divide America, and the woke organizations comply with this division. Then there was the halftime show, which included Snoop Doggy. Again, the woke Marxist communists, they want to destroy Joe Rogan for daring to challenge the government and their pandemic. The woke communists, like on CNN, have been smearing Joe Rogan since he challenged the system with the latest attempt is indicting Joe Rogan for his language and saying and using the word nigger in a podcast. And they're just outraged by this racism. He needs to be removed by Spotify. Yet this same woke NFL hires Snoop Dogg and Eminem as one of their halftime acts, okay? And Snoop Dogg's language, you want to talk about offensive? You want to talk about racist? You want to talk about offensive in attacking and berating law enforcement? And yet the woke NFL embraces this kind of incivility.
Well,
and I believe you have the lyrics to the song that was played yesterday during halftime that was even bleeped out because of the raunchy language that was being used.
And I am going to use that raunchy language, just not because I want to or to be gratuitous, but it is here. Begins with the name. It's Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Fuck with the Dre lyrics. Super Bowl song. Here we go. Yeah. Hell yeah. Know what I'm saying. Yeah. Mr. Buster, where the fuck you at? Can't scrap a lick, so you know I got your gat. Your dick on hard from fucking your road dogs. The hood you threw up with niggas you grew up with don't even respect your ass. That's why it's time for the doctor to check your ass, nigga. Used to be my homie. Used to be my ace. Now I want to slap that taste out your mouth. Make you bow wow down to the road. Fuck me now. I'm fucking your little hoe. And I couldn't go on because that's only the first quarter.
You
get some little gay hijinks in there. You got a little MFing going on there. There's a lot happening in the lyrics of that song. And Snoop Doggy Dogg, Dr. Dre, and the NFL, thank you very much for this crap entertainment.
Yes, Harold is the best halftime show the NFL's ever had. The woke NFL is phony. It's offensive. Their engagement in political correctness is divisive. You know, you have CNN going after Joe Rogan and his podcast, okay? And yet nothing is said about how offensive, okay, how disgusting and despicable of a halftime show that is to have individuals like that singing. I mean, you know, we've gone from Whitney Houston 20 years ago to this crap that the NFL is now totally woke. Totally woke. Do you want to talk about driving people away? I didn't watch the second half at all. Matter of fact, I turned it off when I saw who was coming on because I knew I would get pissed. I knew that I didn't want to listen to that garbage. So I watched reruns of Monk and the Munsters. You know, it's just absolutely, it's ridiculous, Al. But you know what? By the way, the LA Rams did beat the Bengals 23-20. I did catch some of the first half after the PGA Tour ended. I was hoping to see if anybody was going to kneel. And I understand from what you had said that one of the rappers decided they were going to kneel at the end of the
white rapper.
Oh, Jesus. It's just ridiculous. It's disgusting.
Well, I can tell you, Vito, is you should have powered through it to the second half because the music on the second half was much better. They brought in
and what a woman you are. Peppina, oh, you little mouse, so won't you go away? Find yourself another house to run around and play. You scare my girl, you eat my cheese, you even drink my wine. I've tried so hard to catch you, but you trick me all the time.
And the crowd loved it, Vito. That Peppino is one popular mouse.
You should have texted me or called me. I would have just jumped right back on. Damn it.
I was in disbelief. I fell on the floor. I love Peppino. And to hear Snoop Doggy Dogg sing it in Ghetto, I don't know. It wasn't there, but it was close.
Mama mia.
But I got to tell you, my wife and I were talking to, you know, some 30-year-olds, and a lot of people loved it. They were like, oh, that's what we grew up on. So I said, well, is it hip-hop or rap? And they go, well, it's a little of both. All I know is the lyrics are horrible. The music was horrible. The choreography was horrible. And I thought the whole thing was just bad.
Oh. You know, it's really too bad that the NFL can't just be engaged in sports. You know, they have to get this politics. They have to get the wokeness. You know, listening to some analysts on NFL this morning because I wanted to see who won and what the score was. And I'm listening to ESPN. It's the Max, Jay, and Keyshawn, and they had a guest on. And I was talking to iGuy. Yeah, right, Bigfoot. What's the difference between rap anyways? Right. So iGuy, he goes, I did watch some, but I can't believe that they didn't, that the Bengals didn't contain the receiver. Is his name Cup for
Cooper
LA Rams? Cooper Cup.
Coop. Yep. Matt Stafford to Cooper Cup. Like,
and that was great. I guess
they're
Cooper
awesome.
Kupp was also the MVP. But I said, it's funny you should bring that up because the first question out of the block this morning, okay, by Keyshawn Johnson was to this guy, the guest on there was a defensive back retired. A cornerback. He was retired. And he says, well, why couldn't the Bengals contain this guy? You know, it's not like they took him serious and he was always open. And the response from the retired cornerback, the black guy, was really priceless. He said, well, it was because of the shade of his skin. It's like, what? And I'm going, oh. And I'm looking at Keyshawn Johnson's face because they have a five screen. They have five boxes up. And Keyshawn's kind of like squinted like, what? And he goes, yeah, you know. They didn't take him serious because basically he's, you know, the color of his skin didn't warrant to take him serious. Like, you know, he'd be that fast. And then finally Max said, so he just because he's a white guy. And it's like, why does it have to come down to race? So this is a racial thing. They're more, I mean, these people are more racist than we are.
You should lose your job over that.
Oh, my God. Admitting it's racism. And you know what? First of all, I'm happy for Matthew Stafford. I really am, because when I was watching the NFL, this guy, he was beat up in with the Detroit Lions. He gave them 12 years. He dedicated himself. He tried to win. They couldn't win. He goes to the Rams his first season in, and boom, he takes him to the Super Bowl. And you know what? Not just he, okay? There's no I in team. And certainly he needed to have a team around him. And the talent that Stafford really had and showed this whole year, he had a supporting cast, and it was really cool to see him get a Super Bowl victory. So, you know what? Well, I didn't watch it. I have to admit it. But I am going to say I'm happy for Matthew Stafford. At least he can put that on his resume. He's towards the end of his career. He's 34 years old. And the guy got beat up as hell at Detroit. And you know what? It just shows to show, if you put a little bit of substance around him, you know, he's got the talent, and he rose to the top. So good for him.
Yep.
God bless him.
Well, he missed a good game. He missed a good second half all the way to the end.
I'll tell you what I did see. I wasn't impressed with the commercials, but I was impressed with one of them, okay? And I was impressed with – I'm sitting there, and I'm getting ready to change the channel, and I'm reading – actually, I was reading a blog on Bigfoot's Place, and I hear the Sopranos song come up. And I'm going, whoa, this song I was rolling this morning, blah, blah, blah. And it's a Chevy commercial, but it's got Meadow. And driving. Oh, gosh, she's hot. So it's got Meadow driving. And then they go through all the places in the Soprano in Jersey, including the pork store. And she parks, and it's an electric truck, okay? Yeah, big deal. Anyways, and then here's little Anthony. He's coming. He's walking down, you know, with a jacket on to meet his sister. She walks across the street, and they look at each other. They both hug. And it's like, oh, my God. Geez, that was pretty cool. You know, I don't know why. I just found – so I understand the Sopranos is coming back, but in a different form. So it just – I just – that was the most impressive thing. I kind of liked that one. It was a Chevy commercial, and, you know, you hear the Sopranos song, it's like, ooh, whoa. Okay. So one other point with the Super Bowl. There is a candidate for – the U.S. Senate in Pennsylvania, and his name is Dave McCormick. And Dave McCormick bought a 30-second commercial on the Super Bowl. And here is the clip, and this is no lie, and I'll explain it as it goes on, but this is what Dave McCormick
bought. Let's go, Brandon!
So during this 30-second commercial, there's a scroll that comes up, and it's scrolling. And the first thing out of the box is clearly done, starting out with inflation, a record high.
I'm David.
And then
McCormick,
the next thing scrolls up. The fiasco in Afghanistan is a grave blow. And let's go, Brandon. And then big tech is silencing conservative voices. Let's go, Brent. U.S. trade deficit hits record high. And, of course, nobody's talking about that either. On pace to surpass record of annual homicides. Let's go, Brandon. Illegal border crossing soar to record highs. Now, this guy, Dave McCormick, he spent $7 million for a 30-second commercial.
I'm Dave McCormick, and I approve this message.
He's running for the U.S. Senate, and I got to tell you, if you're in Pennsylvania, look at this guy. I mean, this is fantastic. I mean, this guy's got some cojones, man.
$7 million for that one spot, huh? All right.
Yeah. Yeah, I looked up the cost of the 30-second commercial this year at $7 million. Jeez.
Mackerel.
You got to wonder, I wouldn't spend $7 million. Jeez. Dogs in the chat room said Stafford didn't go out like Barry Sanders. You're right. Absolutely. You know, and so, you know, sadly, he couldn't remain with Detroit, but he found a home and he did fantastic, Dogs. You got to agree, huh? It was good for him.
Yep. That's like winning the lottery.
Yeah.
Earning the lottery. He didn't win it. Hell, yes, I thought they were not the underdog Cincinnati was, but I thought they were going to blow the game. I really thought Cincinnati was going to pull it out until the very end, and then all of a sudden, Stafford and Cooper Kupp just, they gelled. It was like bang, 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 penalty, 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 bang, touchdown.
Did they come from behind?
He was surrounded by four receivers going into the end zone and still made the catch.
Wow. So I take it Cincinnati went ahead then, right?
Mm-hmm.
They took the lead before and then and then okay. It was 23-20 at
halftime.
Hey, I got a question for you. All right. And I'm not gonna blindside you with this, but I gotta ask you. So I'm watching the State Department press conference today, a portion of it. And it's about Ukraine, and everybody knows what's going on in Ukraine, and now there's some reports that are stating that Russia is going to invade Ukraine on Wednesday. And then, of course, you got bumbling Biden has been on the phone with Russian President Putin, and they're trying to come up with a diplomatic resolve. Poland's gotten involved, and I'm sure in the EU as well. And it hit me. I got to throw this out at you because I want to hear get your opinion on this. Now, given how deceitful and dishonest the Biden-Harris-Obama regime are, I wouldn't put it past the D.C. regime for building up a false flag in order to prop up the puppet Biden and make him appear presidential and ever the foreign policy diplomat. You know, given how Biden's approval rating has tanked, I mean, it's the lowest of any president since they've started taking these polls, given how bad the economy is, given how he's screwed up everything he's touched, including Afghanistan, I'm almost thinking that, and after listening to the press conference, I didn't listen to the whole thing, but I was listening to a portion, I was like, wait a minute, hold on a second, something's not right here. Could we be seeing a false flag about Ukraine? And then in the 11th hour, it's suddenly reported by the DNC media that Dementia Joe and has reached an agreement with Vladimir Putin to avert war, and everything else is taken off the table, you know, like the spying by Hillary Rodham Clinton, all everything else, and giving the puppet Biden a boost in the poll because things are so bad right now. I mean, first of all, I don't believe that we'll go to war with Russia. All right? And secondly, in speaking to a retired general who knew something about nuclear weapons and was involved, stated that he never thought that Russia and the United States would ever get into a nuclear war because once the Russians unload, you know, their nuclear arsenal, the United States will just release everything we have. And we're talking about world annihilation. And nobody will be left standing if, in fact, we'll have a Mother Earth. And, of course, we all know how the green scam is, you know, their new goddess is the Mother Earth. You know, and I also believe that, I think that while the Democrat Party has been trying to associate Trump with phony allegations as being a puppet for Putin, I think the real false flag, I think the real puppet in this whole equation is Joe Biden and the Biden crime family, as they've been bought and paid for by the Chinese and the Russians. And that's why I'm asking you this question. Do you think Ukraine could be a false flag with regards to an invasion?
Well, could be. The assumption of everyone in the West is that Ukraine's a target for either an invasion or an incursion. However, none of the options look particularly good. Now, yes, Russian troops could probably dash the 240 miles from Belarus to Kiev and seize the capital, no problem. Middle of winter, everything's frozen. Tanks can go wherever they want. But they would be unable, some say, to subjugate the whole of Ukraine, especially west of Kiev, and the invasion could lead to a long and costly insurgency. Now, alternatively, Putin could try and capture Ukraine's coast and the port of Odessa, but it would leave a long strip of land to defend against future Ukrainian counterattacks. But Ukraine may not be Putin's main target. Putin's beef is with NATO, which he believes has made more inroads into Central and Eastern Europe than was ever agreed following the collapse of the Soviet Union. In fact, the two draft treaties which Russia published on the 17th of December last year demanded that NATO withdraw its forces and weapons from any country which joined NATO since 1997. That would include Hungary, Poland, Romania, the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Bulgaria, Croatia, Montenegro, and North Macedonia. It also embraces the three Baltic states, Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, whose secession from the old Soviet Union rankles Putin. So there are two operations which Russia could launch against the Baltic states, which would send NATO into a tailspin. So the question is, will they go in? Well, according to Tim Willsey, who I just read, British Foreign Commonwealth Office, he thinks maybe not. And he's a professor of war studies at King's College. Not that King's College has a great reputation for prognostication right. If COVID is any show, but yeah. So
Neil Ferguson.
So I think you could be right. I mean, because many Western commentators will argue that Putin would not be so foolish as to attack a NATO member. Actually, it makes far more sense than invading Ukraine. It would divide NATO and would serve as yet another of Putin's unresolved conflicts, which become valuable bargaining chips for the future. His key calculation seems correct, that Europe and the U.S. has no appetite for a war with Russia. So some would say, well, yeah, Biden already signaled he's not going to do anything, so he would have a green light to go to 240 miles in. But what does it get him? So that may not even be his main target, which is, I thought, a very interesting perspective that we have not heard from our State Department. And like you said, they are gearing up the American people for war. Now, today, Israel
right.
sent over a plane to pick up their people and get them out of there, which kind of throws everything I said into a big maybe question mark, because why would the Israelis send a jet to get their people out now before the quote-unquote invasion in 48 hours?
See, I can see the port of Odessa. I could see that
mm-hmm.
happening. And it's going to be a heck of a drive from Belarus or from Russia, the eastern part over to the west, but it's not out of the question. I think that port gives a lot, as well as possibly the port by Sevastopol. I just don't see Russia invading Kiev, and I guess I'm being suspect of this whole thing because I really think it's a false flag. And all this build up, we all know that Dementia Joe is not a well man. There's no way, shape, or form you could take this guy serious. And it's like, what would be the motivation? The motivation is things are so bad for this buffoon Biden in America that he needs some sort of help. And his family has been greased by both Ukraine and Russia and of course the Chinese. They've gained a massive amount of wealth from all those
surrounding. And I just think that there is a, I don't trust it. You know, you don't trust these people. You don't trust what's happening today. You know, we have 1 year now of Biden and it's been an absolute failure. We have inflation at a 40-year high. We have unemployment with people falling off the employment dole. We have these continued fear-mongering over the pandemic and the China virus. You know, it's just this, the energy dependence now has been the theme with Dementia Joe, and he's not disappointed. Oil, $95 a barrel. In 1 year's time, it's gone from $40 a barrel to $95. And I haven't spent over $40 to fill up my mini SUV in probably 8 or 9 years. It cost me over $40. I mean, that's $16 higher for a fill-up. And consequently, families are going to be driving less as a result of this continued rise in energy prices. What about heating oil? Unless you locked in the prices in September, as many of us did, you're looking at freaking, you know, 54% to 60% increase in heating fuel oil. Boy, $5.25 a gallon in California. $5.25 a gallon. And in December of 2021. December of 2020. December of 2020. $1.92 a gallon. I have a gas receipt that I keep on my desk right here. $1.92 a gallon. Not a national average, an actual cost. So, you know, that's why I think that Ukraine is a deflection right now. One, it's a perfect story to override any other stories that have broken, especially the one that broke over the weekend, the bombshell Durham report that reveals Clinton spied on the Trump campaign, on Trump in the campaign. Clinton spied on Trump. And I don't know if you remember this exchange. This is a minute and 10 seconds long, but this is an exchange when President Trump did a 60 Minutes interview with Leslie Stahl, who was disputing and showing the lack of respect. But that was also, listen, the lack of respect was a manufactured thing with the DNC. You know, the Democrat National Committee, the Democrat Communist Party, they all decided that they were going to discredit Trump any way, shape, or form. And so here's an exchange of 1 minute and 10 seconds between President Trump and Leslie Stahl, and this is the total disrespect by Leslie Stahl.
I wish you would interview Joe Biden like you interview me. It would be so good. You know what?
I thought you liked
it. I don't mind it. But when I watch him walk out of a store and he's walking with a ice cream and the question the media asks him, what kind of ice cream, what flavor ice cream do you have? And he's in the midst of a scandal.
He's not.
And he's taking...
He's
of course
not.
He is,
no.
Leslie.
Come on.
Of course he is. It's the biggest, second biggest scandal.
So,
the biggest scandal was when they spied on my campaign. They spied on my campaign,
Leslie.
Well,
there's no real evidence of that.
Of course there is.
No.
It's all over the place. Leslie,
sir,
they spied on my campaign and they got caught.
Can I say something? You know, this is 60 Minutes, and we can't put on things we can't verify.
You won't put it on because it's bad for Biden.
We can't things we can't verify.
Leslie, they spied on my campaign.
Well, we can't verify
It's been totally
that.
Verified.
No.
It's been, just go down and get the papers. They spied on my campaign. They got caught.
No.
And then they went much further than that, and they got caught. And you will see that, Leslie. And you know that, but you just don't want to put it on the air.
No, as a matter of fact, I don't know that.
Okay.
No. And here it is. President Trump was proven right once again. He was correct. They spied him. But there was also proof about the Obama-Biden campaign was spying on him. But the Federalist, I'll tell you, I love Molly Hemingway. This is a story by Jordan Boyd in The Federalist. Russian collusion hoaxer Jake Sullivan can't be trusted to evaluate threats after fabricating them for political gain. Americans can't trust a liar like Jake Sullivan to be honest about the threats facing the nation when he's guilty of fabricating them. Okay, so what's the significance of Jake Sullivan? Well, he's a national security advisor. New filings from the special counsel John Durham on Friday revealed that Hillary Rodham Clinton campaign lawyers paid a tech company to infiltrate servers at Trump Tower and access private information that could be used against the Republican candidate by the Democrats, corporate press, and even the federal government, which would have been the Obama-Biden regime. In the scandal that is bigger than Watergate, Clinton's Democrat anti-Trump cronies took the information garnered through covert mining and orchestrated the lie that then presidential candidate Donald Trump was secretly communicating with Russian Alpha Bank. This lie was peddled in a federal law enforcement agency such as the FBI by Clinton's allies as further justification to formally spy on Trump and his campaign. Several Democrat operatives were involved in the operation to undermine Trump, including Michael Sussman, who was recently indicted for lying to the FBI about his role in the Russian collusion hoax. Mark Elias, who was preoccupied himself with meddling in more elections, while Sussman and especially Elias remain loyal to Clinton and refuse to budge over their scandalous attempts to secure the presidency, other prominent Clinton allies have moved on to the Biden administration. Dementia Joe Biden's national security advisor, Jake Sullivan, was another key player in promoting the Russian collusion hoax, and he should be fired for scamming Americans on Clinton's behalf. Sullivan, then senior policy advisor for Hillary for America, boosted the Alpha Bank allegations with hopes that Clinton would win the 2016 election. In a press release touting the bogus story about Trump Tower server communicating with Russia, Sullivan claimed that the information, which we know was garnered by a firm employed by Clinton's team, could be the most direct link yet between Donald Trump and Moscow. It certainly seems the Trump organization felt it had something to hide, given that it apparently took steps to conceal the link when it was discovered by journalists, Jake Sullivan said in a statement amplified by Clinton on Twitter. Now, the fact that Hillary Rodham Clinton amplified Jake Sullivan's comments on Twitter means that she was fully engaged. She was fully engaged with the treasonous act. With the act of spying on a political operative. Remember, President Trump was impeached by Nancy Pelosi because he had the audacity to go after a political opponent. Right? Remember the first impeachment was after Joe Biden had diarrhea of the mouth at that April summit forum, where Joe Biden stated that he was solid and he asked for a special prosecutor to be fired, and he demanded they be fired because in 6 hours I was leaving and you weren't going to get your $1 billion loan guarantee. And so he was fired. Okay, let me see if I can find that clip. Let's see, Biden. Here we go, the Ukraine connection, right? Here we go.
Former U.S. Vice President Joe Biden, who's tipped to run for the White House in 2020, has been fending off allegations of sexual misconduct. That swirl of negative press has taken attention away from another potentially damaging revelation.
Potentially.
Ukraine's former top prosecutor, speaking to political website The Hill, accuses Biden of pressuring Kiev into sacking him. Caleb Maupin digs deeper.
Former Vice President Joe Biden is caught up in a bit of a scandal. His name has been floated for the last year or so as a possible Democratic challenger to Donald Trump in the 2020 election. But now everyone is talking about his habit of getting frisky with both women and girls in public.
He leans down, smells...
That wasn't the clip, but we all know he's a pervert. Anyways, Joe Biden at this summit stated that I told Poroshenko that that you have 6 hours to fire the special prosecutor. Of course, the special prosecutor is looking at the Burisma, where his son, Hunter Biden, was sitting on the board along with Chris Hines, John Kerry's stepson, and where Hunter Biden was getting $80,000 a month, okay, in compensation. So President Trump finds out after Joe Biden has diarrhea of the mouth during the summit that he is that they did a quid pro quo, and they told the Ukrainian president that if you don't get the special prosecutor fired, you're not getting the $1 billion loan guarantee.
Here it is.
And of course,
President
who?
Joe Biden, who's tipped to run for the White House in 2020, has
that's
been
the same one.
Allegations of sexual misconduct.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to it.
That's weird.
Huh. Yeah, I know. So anyway, so now Hillary Ryan Clinton was caught rigging the Democrat presidential primary, along with the little tyrant Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was then the DNCC party chair. And remember, it was little Debbie Wasserman Schultz who had abruptly stepped down on the day the DNCC convention was to be kicked off. And of course, the left wing media swept that scandal right under their biased prayer rug. You know, but the truth keeps oozing out. It keeps oozing out. And I'll tell you, what's refreshing, Al, is that I know it doesn't get much play, and it won't get much play because you've got these people in the left wing news media who believe that they are above any type of rules and regulations. The rules don't apply to them. It don't apply to them. I've got another clip here from Bartiromo, who talks about the bombshell that was released today. Here it is. Here's Maria Bartiromo talking about the Durham report and the fact that Hillary Clinton was behind and her campaign was behind the phony Russian collusion. It was all contrived by the Clinton campaign. This is bigger than Watergate. It's bigger than a bunch of guys breaking into the Democrat National Committee headquarters and stealing files. This is about spying on your political opponent. Spying on your political opponent while running for president and then while your political opponent is in the White House.
Well, it is what you would expect in third world countries. But in fact, here in America, we have had surveillance of a sitting president. Hillary Clinton and her campaign set up President Trump during his campaign and after he won the presidency in 2016 and 17. Special counsel John Durham's latest filing on the Russia collusion lie reveals the Clinton campaign paid a government contracted technology company to intercept and spy on President Trump before and during his time as president, mining data from Trump Tower in New York, his Central Park West apartment building, as well as the Oval Office. Congressman Mike Turner with me yesterday on Sunday Morning Futures.
Absolutely. We have to get to the truth. I mean, this is a threat to our democracy itself. It doesn't matter really which political campaign this is or which political party this is. This is so wrong.
Even Democrats apparently want more information. A new poll shows 66% of Democrats want Clinton questioned on her role in manufacturing dirt on Donald Trump to try and tie him to Russia. Liz Peek, Michael Lee with me this morning. And Liz, this is just obviously extraordinary. And for what, 4 or 5 years, the Democrats have been ignoring this, hiding it under the rug. Adam Schiff was out everywhere during 16, 17, 18, and 2019 saying that there was collusion in plain sight. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it's just horrifying, Maria. I mean, Pulitzer Prizes were awarded for fake reporting on a fake investigation into fake activities. You know, this is, I think, truly worse than Watergate. Watergate was a bunch of ham-fisted burglars, you know, up to sort of political dirty tricks. This is spying on an American president. I mean, I hope this goes up the ranks. I hope that John Durham, bless his heart for sticking with this, is not content to pursue only Michael Sussman, a low-level Clinton operative. I'd like to see James Comey questioned on this, James Clapper. We need to know who authorized this, who was involved, and if it's Hillary Clinton herself, I hope they do question her. If Republicans take over Congress, you can be pretty sure we're going to see some investigations here.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And you know, I mean, to think that they were able to intercept the White House and the office of the President of the United States, I mean, you would think how many foreign adversaries there are out there that want to be able to intercept the data and the internet traffic of a sitting president of the United States. And here you have Hillary Clinton, who's running for president, able to pay a technology company who obviously had access because they were contracted to actually intercept data from a sitting president. Michael, we don't know if we're going to see indictments further in the next couple of weeks, but I would say there will be many more indictments to come as this continues to show what took place here. Michael.
Maria, every time you peel back the layers, it gets worse and worse and worse. And like, let's
yeah.
not forget the FBI never investigated the DNC server. It's just
That's
one
right.
lie after
Good
another
point.
After another.
Yeah, it's a great point. She's actually surveilling his traffic, but she's got a server in her house so nobody can see her emails. Hillary Clinton.
So that was Maria Bartiromo in her show this morning, and she was talking about the story that broke on Friday. And, of course, nowhere in the DNC media, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, CBS, are they even talking about this bombshell that was released by the Durham report. The Federalist, you can also go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. And today he's got the Federalist link, the story link on that Blogspot. As I said, Jake Sullivan should be fired. Okay, Jake Sullivan was involved in this manufacturing of this phony Russian collusion story and involved with the spying on a presidential candidate of a major party, a political opponent. And Hillary Rotten Clinton then furthered the lie on Twitter. And this fraudulent woman, this crook, okay, this grifter is still active on Twitter. And so it goes to show how biased these social media platforms truly are. And the Federalist has the October 31st, 2016 tweet that was sent out by Hillary Rotten Clinton. She furthered the lie. She was into this up to her eyeballs because that's how dishonest Hillary Rotten Clinton is. This is, you know, you say, well, it's 5-6 years old, Vito. Excuse me. This is about the compromising of our national election, okay? It's about spying on a presidential candidate, a political opponent. It is what Nancy Pelosi ultimately tried to get President Trump impeached for, which goes to show this whole thing was manufactured by the Democrat Party. The Russian collusion, the feigned outrage over President Trump, the phony allegations of being a dictator, a tyrant, and being anti-constitutional. Yeah, where is Hillary Clinton? She was in Haiti. That's correct. Where is the outrage? Why isn't Jake Sullivan fired? He's national security advisor to the buffoon Biden right now. And he was deeply involved in this manufacturing and fabricating this Russian collusion narrative against a political opponent. That's treason. That is treason what these people did. They were screwing with our republic. And they manufactured phony stories. You know, the entire outrage and hysteria over Donald Trump's presidency has turned out to be a manufactured crisis by the Washington, D.C. elitists, the globalists, and the anti-Americans. Hillary Rotten Clinton is anti-American. Jake Sullivan is an anti-American. As a matter of fact, now you understand why James Comey covered up for Hillary Rotten Clinton all these years. You understand why he quickly swept everything under the rug with regards to having her own personal server. And the truth is starting to leak out. It's starting to leak out. So you have the Obama-Biden regime was spying on a private citizen, a man who was a political opponent, Donald Trump. And it turns out that Hillary Rotten Clinton and her campaign were also spying on Donald Trump. How do they have access
to the White House when President Trump was serving as president, huh? I'll tell you how. Hussein Satoru Obama. You know, these people, these anti-Americans sitting here trying to undermine our constitutional republic, and they're a cancer. And they're a cancer. What President Trump has exposed, and he was right. He was right to Leslie Stahl, and she denied it. She invoked the DNC talking points. But that's what CBS does. DNC CBS. The Democrat National Committee. The Democrat National Communist Committee. That's what it should be. These elitists are really bent on one thing, power and control. We should be outraged. If there was any objective journalism out there, left out there, there should be outrage over a campaign, Hillary Rotten Clinton's campaign, going after a political opponent. Donald Trump was impeached by Nancy Pelosi for that reason. Keep that in mind. And in fact, it was a quid pro quo on the part of a bumbling Joe Biden who admitted to it and then indicted Barack Obama. Because remember, it was bumbling Biden who said, well, check with Barack. He's solid on this.
Well, Durham saying that the Democratic candidate for president in 2016 engaged in a criminal conspiracy to infiltrate the opposition's most sensitive compartmentalized information and tried to manipulate that and information to politically damage her opponent. That's some strong language coming from Durham. And I say, better late than never. Where's he been for the last 2 years?
Well, you know, Al, and I know that the show is Mama Mia No Sharia, but we're talking about politics here as well. And we're talking about the integrity of our republic. And when you start seeing organizations, when you start seeing whether it's the Democrat Party, it's the Muslim Brotherhood, they all have the same goal, and that is to dismantle our constitutional republic. We've got documents. We've got pages, 10,000, 12,000 pages of documentation from the Muslim Brotherhood, including their manifesto, their mission statement. The Ikhwan must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers, so it is eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. Well, Vito, how does that tie in? Because they've aligned themselves, the Muslim Brotherhood, has aligned themselves with the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party has embraced these anti-American organizations. They've embraced these anti-constitutional organizations. They've embraced these anti-constitutional legislators. You can't deny that Rashida Motherfucker Tlaib and incestuous Ilhan Omar are anti-Semites. They're anti-Americans, and they're promoting an Islamic agenda. Article 6, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution states that the U.S. Constitution shall be the supreme law of the land. And it further goes on to say that judges shall be bound thereby. They should be bound to the U.S. Constitution. But now you have these legislators who are trying to impose and to insert other international laws, other forms of laws like Sharia. Why? To supplant the U.S. Constitution. This all is intertwined. There is nothing democratic about the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party is nothing but an anti-constitutional, anti-American party, and they embrace those who believe in their mission, and that is to dismantle our constitutional republic. Why do you think the Democrats are embracing Islam? Why do you think Nancy Pelosi has done nothing to admonish the anti-Semites in the United States House of Representatives? I mean, if Congress people would have conducted themselves on the Republican side as both Tlaib and Omar have done, there would have been consequences. And hell, they probably would have been forced to resign. At least incestuous Ilhan Omar should resign. She's nothing but a creep. That woman, she marries her brother to defraud the U.S. government. Then she's mired in frequent campaign finance violations. Then she pays her husband's company, not her brother husband, but her other husband, millions of dollars out of her campaigns, diverting funds there. She's nothing but a shyster. She's a con woman. And yet there's no consequences for those actions, which means that Nancy Pelosi is embracing this elitism, this law-breaking. There should be, you know, Pelosi sits up there like she did yesterday with on ABC's with Georgie Stephanopoulos. You know, we put our hand up as elected officials and we take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution. That's so full of crap. She's full of crap. There's nothing but elitists up there. This unified party, this government party, they don't give a shit about we the people. All they care about is how they can better themselves and entrench themselves in Washington, D.C. The U.S. Treasury, it's part of their slush fund. You want to get rid of these whores that are in Washington, D.C.? The first thing to do is terminate all pensions, effective immediately. I don't care if you've served in Congress for 30 years or for 3 years or for 30 minutes. There is no pension for serving in the United States Congress, whether you're a senator or a member of the House of Representatives. Done. Zero. You get nothing. You serve at the pleasure of the American people. You're not going to get 60% of your salary. You're not going to get 80% of your salary. You're going to get 0% of your salary as a retirement. Go back to the private sector and work. In the meantime, you're stealing from the American taxpayers. And then Pelosi starts spewing these Democrat National Communist Committee talking points yesterday on ABC, DNC ABC News with Georgie Stephanopoulos. Oh, Stephanopoulos, you know, inflation is the highest in 40 years. Oh, and then she quickly goes into her excuse, okay? These canned sound bites that all Democrats have to spew. Okay, stating that the reason why we're seeing inflation is due to more people going back to work. That's a flat-out lie. That is a flat-out lie. And you want to prove it's a lie? President Trump had the lowest unemployment rate in 50 years. What was it, 3.2%, 3%? People back to work? The people who are dependent upon food stamps drops from 49.7% down into the 30s. More people are working. We have $1.80 a gallon, $1.90 a gallon gasoline. We don't have any food shortages or shelves that are empty. But no, the way you sanitize it, okay, the way the Democrat Communist Party sanitizes this nonsense, more people back to work. That's horse crap. It's a lie. But this is what the people of Washington, D.C. do. They lie. Nancy Pelosi spent 4 years attacking President Trump for making America great, for giving people, for empowering people, for giving Americans back America, and for believing in the American people. The government is supported by the people. It's not the government works for you. Today, it's the government takes. You will be subservient to the government. We will tell you how to live. We will tell you about wearing a mask. You must get a vaccine. So these elite globalist snobs in Washington, D.C., including Nancy Pelosi, okay, flat out lie. Well, it's because more people are working. Bullshit. That's a flat-out lie. And it's not like Georgie Stephanopoulos is going to hold her feet to the fire. She looks right at the American people and states the reasons for the highest inflation in 40 years. I mean, it's absolutely shameless. Why didn't inflation spike when unemployment was at its lowest in 50 years under President Trump? Huh? Why? Why? Because Pelosi and her fellow elitist anti-Americans despise Donald Trump. They couldn't stand a President Trump presidency. So today, the same anti-American, anti-constitutionalist, nasty Pelosi is spinning the failed presidency of bubbling Joe Biden. There is a rescue plan in the House and the Senate, and that is to rescue Joe Biden from the trenches of the dregs of society, because he's nothing but an utter failure. And the American people know that. And I wouldn't put it by them to enlist the Russians to help pull him out of this crap. And of course, now we know that communist Kamala, you know, she's been silent. All of a sudden, she's been relegated back to the back room again. So don't be misled by this whole thing. You know, the Democrat Party, first of all, there's nothing democratic about the Democrat Party. And second of all, look who they align themselves with. They align themselves with those who do not believe in the U.S. Constitution, who do not believe in the Constitutional Republic. But no one's challenging them. No one is challenging them. Because the media today is bought and paid for by the Democrat National Committee. And they become a mouthpiece for the DNC. Well, we'll see what kind of legs the Durham report gets. Obviously, it's not going to be reported on any of the DNC news outlets, because they don't want to give President Trump any more credit for being right. And yet people like Jake Sullivan still are in the White House. And he was a key player in the defrauding the American people. He should be in Gitmo right now. God almighty, you can't believe it. And as Maria Bartiromo started off in her show, you would think it would happen in a third world country. It's exactly what Obama has brought us back to. And Soros, a third world country, a banana republic. It's why these phony Democrats keep calling America a democracy. And you know what? In all fairness, why the government party calls America a democracy. We are a constitutional republic. And Joe Biden should be charged with treason. Hillary Rodham Clinton should be charged with treason. This is far worse than Watergate. And if this is the first peel of that onion, it's about time some people start going down. And who cares where it leads to? I don't really give a crap if it leads to the Department of Defense. I don't care if it goes back to the President of the United States. These people compromised our republic. It is not what our founders put forth. Our founders were brilliant. Now we have individuals who are perverting the entire system, including Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and Nancy Pelosi, and Hillary Rotten Clinton. James Comey is part of that supporting cast, by the way, head of the FBI. You wondered why Hillary's crimes were swept under the rug? Well, there is a tweet, October 31st, 2016, where Hillary Rotten Clinton sent out under her Twitter account, and it supports the statement by Jake Sullivan, and now we know that Jake Sullivan was part of the ruse. He was part of the con. He was part of the treasonous bastards in the Hillary Rotten Clinton campaign who tried to defraud and to sway an election. But don't act shocked, okay? Because remember, back in August of 2016, maybe it was July, the first day of the Democrat National Committee convention was supposed to be the happiest day to kick off. And guess what? The DNC chair at that time, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, had to abruptly resign because she was found to have cheated in the Democrat presidential primary race. And hey, and Bernie Sanders is no altar boy either. That little phony and that fraud is the one who cast the deciding vote to give Hillary Rodham Clinton the nomination, and he was the one that was screwed by Hillary Clinton. So you think the 2020 election was an anomaly which was laden with fraud? No. No. 2016 was the trial run. But nobody thought this real estate magnate from New York would beat the queen, Hillary Clinton. And now it's coming out that she's nothing but a fraud, she's nothing but a cheat, and she's a treasonous SOB. God. And these people embrace all of those organizations which are opposed to our constitutional republic. So kudos to the Federalist for their article. You can go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Bigfoot's got it on the first page of his blogspot. Check the Federalist. More about the alleged spying against candidates and then President Trump. Lying and cheating bastards. Unbelievable. God.
Well,
Al?
XDNI told Durham there is enough evidence to indict multiple people in the Trump-Russia probe. And the New York Post repeated, Ratcliffe expects more indictments in Durham's and Russiagate probe. But I don't know about you. I am going to take this news and wait for something to happen because I got teed up too many times and disappointed too many times.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And boy brought up about, don't forget about Wasser and Schultz tech guys too. She was deeply involved with those Iranian tech guys who didn't they flee the country?
Yeah, after they destroyed hard drives and computer disks and everything, and then they fled the country.
You know what? I'll tell you what would be ideal. The ideal thing for this to get some legs is this: a massive revolt against every Democrat running for Congress, House and Senate, and then the Republicans taking back the House. With more patriots being elected to Congress, and then that same House of Representatives naming their new Speaker of the House, Donald J. Trump, and let Trump lead investigations, and then also stop this reckless spending that's going on. And introduce single-issue spending items, single-issue, not $1.7 trillion, not $4 trillion, not all this green scam, individual fiscal items, and then go after the individuals who perverted the election process, including Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Rodham Clinton, James Comey, James Clapper, Omar, Biden, Obama, and start these investigations and also start bringing up charges against Adam Schiff for lying to Congress, lying while in Congress. Hillary Clinton for lying to Congress, and let's just start peeling this onion back and let's start taking back this country.
From your mouth to God's ears, but I'm concerned you may be smoking some of Snoop Doggy Dogg's weed for all that to happen.
Well, you know, what would really be interesting, and I know this is far-fetched, but with the amount of turnover that could occur in both the House and the Senate, you know, if they name Trump as Speaker of the House and then quickly bring up impeachment charges against both Biden and Harris, the Speaker of the House becomes President of the United States. I'm just saying.
Well, it is a statistical possibility.
Yeah, I just, you know, I okay, that's all speculation. But the fact is that the Durham report has started to expose that Hillary Rodham Clinton was behind the spying of a political opponent. And you have to use the term political opponent because that's exactly how Nancy Pelosi phrased her attack on President Trump and her justification for seeking to impeach President Trump, because he went after a political opponent, which was Joe Biden. And by the way, no one knew Joe Biden was running for president. Not even Joe Biden knew he's running for president at that time. So that's how they quickly manufactured this entire charge to try to justify the impeachment against President Trump. See, it's starting to unfold. It's starting to unfold, and things are happening, and it ever so slowly. But you know, when you have you have a really good protection if you're the Democrats with regards to the media, because the media is not really releasing anything. Yes, you have your Newsmax, and I would even say Fox. You know, now I think if I'm one America News, you know, I'm going after the anti-constitutional Biden-Harris regime just because they're denying our First Amendment rights of freedom of the press in trying to get big tech to censor our station, to censor our broadcasts. And suddenly racism is okay, discrimination is okay, and censorship is fine. The hell with the First Amendment, freedom of speech. The hell with freedom of the press. The hell with freedom to peaceably assemble. Oh, and of course, forget about religion part of it. You know, unless you're of the Islamic faith, if you're a Christian, you're right, you know, for going after. I mean, let's face it. It is the Obama Justice Department, I'm sorry, the Biden Justice Department who called on the DOJ to create this domestic terrorist, go after domestic terrorists. Yeah.
Oh, you mean the Patriots?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, so here's a. Play this clip. It's only 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Since we're speaking of the Muslim Brotherhood and knowing your enemy, by the way, here is a clip of this this individual who's the executive director of Hamas Care in San Mateo County, California. This story appeared in Bare Naked Islam, and it's titled Zahar Belu, who is executive director of Hamas Care branch in San Mateo County, that was my notes. It says designated terrorist group care executive director Zahar Belu's long list of anti-Semitic remarks gets her kicked off as keynote speaker at Women's Leadership Conference. Can you imagine? Finally, something in California. Can you imagine? So she's speaking now at American Muslims for Palestine event. And this, it's not the full speech. I can only find 2 minutes and 23 seconds of it. But this was, in fact, the part of the speech that got her kicked off of or kicked out as keynote speaker.
We need to pay attention to the Anti-Defamation League. We need to pay attention to the Jewish Federation. We need to pay attention to the Zionist synagogues. We need to pay attention to the Hillel chapters on our campuses, because just because they're your friend today doesn't mean that they have your back when it comes to human rights. So oppose the vehement fascists, but oppose the politest Zionists too. They are not your friends. They will not be there for you when you need them. They will take your friendship and throw your Palestinian brothers and sisters under the bus. Oh, you get along because you're all in Girl Scouts together? Talk to them about what is happening in Palestine and see how that conversation goes. And so when we think about Islamophobia and Zionism, let's be clear about the connections. There is no difference between domestic policy and foreign policy when it comes to our human rights. There is no difference between domestic policy and foreign policy when it comes to those who seek to target us. And by the way, you should be a monthly donor to American Muslims for Palestine. Build it into your budget and forget about it. Make it your monthly contribution because you're contributing to the apartheid monthly. It is a part of your budget. You are paying your taxes, so you should be giving money to AMP monthly. No, list goes on. Know who is on your side. Build community with them. Because the next thing I'm going to tell you is to know your enemies. And I'm not going to sugarcoat that. They are your enemies. There are organizations and infrastructures out there who are working to harm you. Make no mistake of it. They would sell you down the line if they could. And they very often do behind your back. I mean the Zionist organizations. I mean the foreign policy organizations who say they're not Zionist but want a two-state solution. I'm not a Palestinian myself, but it's my understanding that that is laughable. So know your enemies.
Know your enemies. How fitting was that clip, Al? Know your enemies. You know a little bit about this woman. You know a little bit about CARE and their movement. And the fact that Ballou is sitting here talking, you know, with their anti-Semitism. First of all, Israel's not an apartheid state. Boom. And so Zahar Ballou is showed her true colors. And it appears that there are no consequences, or at least up until now, there were no consequences for this hateful anti-Semitic rhetoric that she was spewing.
Yeah, I was even surprised that she lost her job over at CARE for this because she's just spewing. That's her heartfelt beliefs and her ideology regarding Zionism and Jews. She hates Israel. She hates Zionists. She hates Jews. So, you know, good riddance to her. I'm surprised that happened.
Yet the speech was November 27, 2021 at an annual conference of American Muslims for Palestine in Chicago. It took CARE a long time. So did they finally oust her? They finally get rid of her?
Well, I guess she was too honest in too public of a setting.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. That's part of the problem. And again, these are the same individuals, okay, the Muslim Brotherhood front groups who embrace the Democrat Party, okay? Make no bones about it. And there are no consequences for members of the House of Representatives, Democrat members of the House of Representatives, for spewing this type of anti-Semitism. Well, apparently, out in the open market, there were consequences for Zahar Ballou, and her comments got her kicked off of as a keynote speaker. And know your enemy. Remember, it is the Muslim Brotherhood who wrote the explanatory memorandum. The explanatory memorandum is quite clear. It is the mission statement of the Muslim Brotherhood. The Ikhwan must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers, so that it is eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. And Zahar Ballou was part of CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, who the co-founder is one by the name of Omar Ahmad. And Omar Ahmad uttered these words: Islam is not in America to be equal, but to become dominant. The Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority in America, and Islam, the only accepted religion on earth. Islam should be the highest authority in America. That means their mission is to supplant the U.S. Constitution. And irrespective of Article 6, Clause 2, the the Constitution and the laws of the United States shall be made in pursuance thereof. All treaties made or shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land. And the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. Article 6, paragraph 2. And yet the Muslim Brotherhood has aligned itself with the Democrat Party. And what you didn't hear in that speech, which I couldn't get the whole 3 minute and 28 seconds loaded up, I couldn't find the rest of it, but in that same speech, Ballou attempts to tie technology used at the southern U.S. border is the same technology used by Israeli apartheid's wall. Yet, you know, another lying, reckless, and deceitful statement by members of the Muslim Brotherhood, by a member of CARE. Not only that, she goes on to berate police in the United States as well, stating that, and this is the sickest comments, because she's talking about connecting the dots. And connecting the dots soundbite was to indict police officers in the United States. So obviously, Zahar Ballou is aligned with the Marxists in America for making such an outrageous and hateful statement. She said, certainly police officers in the United States who kill unarmed black men, women, and children. I'm sorry, but that is an outrageous and absurd statement. I mean, does Ballou get her talking points from the DNCC or Black Lives Matter? I mean, what a reckless statement to state that police officers in the United States are killing unarmed black men, women, and children. And she went right into men, women, and children. That is a flat-out lie. How sick is this woman with her perverted thought process? And then to falsely claim that the police in the United States are trained by the Israeli military. Did you hear that part of it, Al?
No.
They are trained by the Israeli military. It's like there are no consequences. Just go to Bare Naked Islam and you can see the story. See, and there's a full 3 minute and 40 second video of this broad. It's unbelievable. Reckless, absolutely reckless. I'm gonna see if I can post the story in the chat room.
Well, there's been a not surprising. There's been a media blackout on this. The Washington Post, CNN, New York Times, Associated Press have not been reporting the story with any enthusiasm. So they're just going to let it go. I guess they figure that while the Republicans are in the minority, there's not going to be any follow through. So
there you go.
So just look at that news that isn't news. And that's a news story in itself.
Well, I'll tell you, Bare Naked Islam hit the nail on the head in this one. That is a good story. You know, you're talking about an organization, Hamas CARE, who employs these individuals to spew their separatists and their Islamic monologues. And now you have an American Muslims for Palestine. And I'll tell you, you educated me a little bit, but I honestly don't see much difference between the Islamic Association for Palestine that was shut down by the federal government for funding terrorist organizations like Hamas. And once you're raising money, okay, and you're giving it to Palestine. Who runs Palestine? Hamas. It's the same snake, but it has a different skin. right? The first skin was the Islamic Association for Palestine that was shut down by the federal government. And now you've got this plea for money to be raised for the American Muslims for Palestine. Wow. Isn't that something? They're very, very similar in name, right? AMP, AMP versus IAP. Hamas, a designated terrorist organization by the U.S. State Department. Hamas charter calls for the annihilation of Israel. And yet they're the governing body in Palestine. So you raise money for Palestine, and the money goes to Hamas. Build tunnels. I mean, Barack Hussein's tour Obama in 2009 designated $3 billion to Hamas. And what did they do? They built tunnels. They built elaborate tunnels. We're not talking about just, you know, digging dirt and dirt tunnels. We're talking about concrete tunnels with air with a ventilation systems that went in from Palestine and went deeply into Israel. Why? To kill Israelis. It wasn't the Israelis building tunnels going into Palestine to kill Palestinians. No, it was Palestinians. It was Hamas building elaborate tunnels with taxpayer money, U.S. taxpayer money, $3 billion, with the expressed intent to kill Israelis. So again, Donald Trump was right. In the peace, in fostering a peace process in the Middle East, when it was clear that the Palestinians would be dishonest and would not come to the table, what did President Trump do? He pushed them aside and forged a peace plan, the Abraham Accords, which, of course, the bumbling Biden administration has screwed up royally and intentionally, by the way. I shouldn't say they screwed up. They intentionally are trying to destroy that accord because they, too, are following Muslim Brotherhood manifesto. And then you have this executive director, the former executive director, which is kind of puzzling. I'm surprised that Kara got rid of her. I really am. I guess because she got too public, right? It's almost like John Gotti, you know, becoming more of a focal point and putting the mafia front and center. Not that there truly was a mafia, but putting the mafia on the front page where, you know, the powers to be, they wanted to remain on the back page and work covertly.
Yeah, definitely a surprise. She must have, I don't know, she said the right thing.
Yeah.
But it's all, there's interlocking. She'll find a home. Look at Hassan Shibli, what he did.
Oh.
He beat up a woman, his wife, and misogynist, and pictures of him with AK-47s, but he raised a lot of money. But they fired him, too, and now he's... Now he's head of a school somewhere up in Florida, somewhere over in Florida somewhere. So she'll be fine. She'll be okay.
Oh,
I mean, your concern is nice, but I think she'll be all right.
I don't doubt for a minute that the nest, the web of the seat by the Muslim Brotherhood will take care of their own. She'll just be redesignated to another location, to another organization, and they'll make sure that she doesn't become as overtly popular.
Mm-hmm. But I think everybody should buy some trees in Israel in her honor, and you could do it in memoriam even, because technically – but actually you could just buy some trees in Israel. That'll really piss her off.
That's a good idea.
It'll make her very upset. Yeah.
But, you know, here it is. There's two things to take away from the video. Here it is. She challenges to know your enemy. And this is the important part. Know your enemy. And this is where the Democrat Party in America has embraced the enemy. The enemy is in the front door. The enemy has walked through the front door and is now in the White House once again, thanks to, you know, bumbling Biden, who seems to be beholden to the Muslim Brotherhood. The equine must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad. understand the Muslim Brotherhood Manifesto. Understand their words mean something. You know, Paul Sutcliffe, Sutcliffe Report, he would read that Muslim Brotherhood mission statement every show, at the start of every show. And it's so right. It's something that Americans should understand. And it's not a fear tactic, but understand what the mission statement is. And then look how the Muslim Brotherhood, or where their alliance and their allegiance is. And it's with the Democrat Party. And you say, well, you know, it's not really that far. It's just far-fetched. It's not really it's not an issue, really. Okay. So there's two individuals in the United States House of Representatives who've shown their anti-Semitism, their anti-American behavior, denigrating not just the House of Representatives, but also the President of the United States. And I'm talking about incestuous Ilhan Omar and Rashida Motherfucker Tlaib. And yet there are no consequences by a sitting Speaker of the House for their actions, for their current actions, nor their previous actions. You know, there's no consequences for Eric Swalwell banging a Chinese spy whose political career from mayor to United States House of Representatives was furthered by a Chinese spy. And there seems to be no consequences for that. Adam Schiff, right, settles a sexual harassment lawsuit with a male intern using a House slush fund covertly. And there's no consequences for his sexual harassment. He's one of the key players in the Democrat Communist Party. Tlaib and Omar. Omar, we know her sordid history, including her past. You know, where is the decorum for being a politician? There used to be some that were held in esteem, you know? You marry your brother to defraud the U.S. government. And there's no consequences for those actions. You defraud the federal government and commit campaign finance violations one after the other, and there's no consequences. You filter $1 million through your campaign to your husband and not your brother husband's company, and there's no consequences. Yet an African-American woman, a black woman by the name of Kareem Brown, is had to go to jail for $800,000 defrauding individuals in her district, raising over $800,000 for college funds for the minorities. And it turns out that they gave a total of $1,200 to these underprivileged children for scholarships after raising $830,000. She was paying off her daughter, funding her daughter. And now you've got somebody who's committed even more of an egregious act, and that's incestuous Ilhan Omar. And not to mention her anti-Semitic rhetoric on the United States House of Representatives floor, which is entered into the House records, by the way. But I have to give it to Andre Carson. You know, he keeps a low profile. He works behind the scenes. And now these two individuals who are overt, there are no consequences for their actions. So silence is consent. And the fact that Nancy Pelosi does nothing means that she's in favor of their actions. She's in favor of House members denigrating the state of Israel. She's in favor of it. The hit squad, you know, they go out, they make these outrageous statements, they stand there in unity, and there's no consequences. Eric Swalwell bangs Fang Fang, there's no consequences. The best one is Dianne Feinstein, 20 years. Chinese spy is our driver. No consequences. And as Boyd said, they have no conscience.
Hey, don't forget Mitch McConnell and his wife, Cho. They have ties to communist China as well. So
there you go.
As Schweitzer pointed out in his article, there's many, George W. Bush and several other high-ranking and high-profile Republicans are also on the communist China train. So it goes, they've infiltrated and compromised both sides of the aisle. And that's what's scary.
Yes, they have. Because it's no more two-party system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made Donald Trump a threat. Because
Bingo.
He was an outsider.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and why the story is still relevant, it's because the Durham report now has unveiled what we've known. What we stated, you know, we were told that we were conspiracy theorists, and we were told that, you know, you put on your tinfoil hat, you know, oh, Trump wasn't, mm-hmm. he wasn't spied on. Well, then you find out Obama, Biden administration spied on him. And now, and by the way, there were tens of thousands of pages of documentation of conversation between two FBI individuals, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. 10,000 pages of correspondence between the two, talking about undermining candidate Donald Trump, talking about undermining President-elect Donald Trump, talking about undermining President Donald Trump, members of the FBI. And in the meantime, those of us who are conservatives, you know, who are trying to figure out and are, you know, are somewhat amazed at this illegality that's occurring in government, and we want answers, and we want people to be held accountable. And we were told that we were conspiracy theorists, and that there's nothing to what you said, and you know, you're just another Trumper, and blah, 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 and they were going on and on and on, and it turns out in the end we're right. 6 years later, right, boy, 6 years later the story comes out. It's never too late. But now, of course, it's overshadowed by this Ukraine false flag. That's my opinion of the false flag.
Yeah.
I just, again, I don't trust this administration. I don't trust what's happening. I don't trust what's happening with the China virus. I don't believe this government. I don't believe this world body. And more we're starting to see, like the truckers in Canada, what's happening there. You know, now you've got the fascists, you've got the tyrants and the tyrannical, you know, Canadian government who are going after the truckers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just a small minority of people. It turns out that it's actually Canadians standing up to the oppression and the tyranny of the government.
Guess who's back on Spotify?
Who?
Neil Young and Joni Mitchell. And if you remember Spotify, they tried to get rid of Joe Rogan because they didn't like him using the N-word. Forget that Dr. Dre said it multiple times during the Super Bowl. But so Neil Young and Joni Mitchell did a full-pronged effort to get him taken off of Spotify. And they said that they were going to leave, and they left. But now they've come back. So these hippies are back. So we can only assume that Warner label is used to Young's tantrums and by now knows how to placate him until he calms down and things get back to normal. At any rate, it's delightful to see yesteryear's hippies losing influence in the public square like this. So that's an interesting little story, I think.
Well, it is, because it goes back to free speech issues. It goes back to, you know, tech companies that are sitting there, social media companies who are stifling speech in America, and they're hiding behind their platforms. Well, that's our policy. That's crap. That's horse crap. You don't like the content, and then you now are the ones who are going to decide what speech is free and what speech is not. You know, just like YouTube suspending the broadcasting of the truckers in Canada.
Yep. Now, here's a story, a little blip of a story that's vitally important, because you know how I always say that Biden is not as out of it as everybody thinks? And I think that my personal opinion is that the cascade of bad decisions that he's been making or have made that are bad for America are by design, and that he is a Marxist doing what a Marxist does very effectively. Well, a federal judge on Friday blocked for now the Biden administration for restoring Obama-era values for calculating the cost of climate change and the government's permitting, investment, and regulatory decisions. Now, this story is important because in order for the Biden administration to raise taxes, make regulatory decisions that are going to be bad for business and make business harder, in order for him to do this, he needs to restore the calculating the cost of climate change in the government. That's what he needs to do so he can go to the next step and actually impose taxes and regulatory decisions that are going to be bad for America. So he's already planning ahead. This is like a chess move that just got blocked because the preliminary ruling by a U.S. district judge in Louisiana is a blow to Joe Biden's efforts to factor the risks of climate change into federal decision-making. Now, it may not seem like much, but President Biden was making a chess move. He knew that before he could make more of these bad decisions stick, he had to get this little thing under the radar that nobody is going to look at except for dopey people like me, are going to look at this and go, ding, 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 this is really important. So President Biden is trying to screw the American people, and he's doing it with forethought and malice. And this is one story, and I'll put it up in the chat room, but it's one story that is vitally important. So don't underestimate Joe Biden, in my opinion, because he is a full-blown Marxist. And must be he must be treated as such, and the story has validity because it's in the Insurance Journal of all places. It's in a little red.
What's the story? Mm-hmm. What actually is the story?
That's it. In order for Joe Biden to say, well, climate change has gotten so bad that we need to raise regulatory. We need to make regulations on ExxonMobil tougher. We need to make regulations on oil producers tougher and more expensive, and then we need to reduce regulations on electric vehicles, on non-fossil fuel energy, and then lower those barriers to entry into the market. So he won't be able to do any of this. He won't be able to hurt coal, fossil fuels in favor of electric energy and other non-fossil fuels, which is really bad for the economy. So now he's going to be stuck. He won't be able to do his damaging taxes and regulatory laws to hurt existing businesses and hurt our country's ability to make our own oil and to sell our oil and to run effectively and cheaply. And that's part of the reason that inflation has gone up. It's part of the reason fuel costs have gone up. And it's part of the reason that we have truckers who are protesting mandates in Canada. It's all related. So this is a good sign. This is a good sign. So don't underestimate Biden because he's not as stupid as he looks. And he looks pretty stupid, acts stupid, but he is a hardcore Marxist. And people need to be asking him, Mr. President Biden, why are you making these policies that are hurting America? Let him answer it.
Oh, man, you're a stupid son of a bitch, is what he said.
Well, yeah, you get all these talking heads on Fox News, and then they're right in the sense they're telling America what Joe Biden should be doing so we don't have all these problems, and that's all well and good, but it's Joe Biden. He doesn't want to do what these people on Fox News and the conservatives are telling him to do. He's doing the opposite. And I think the talking heads need to focus on what he is doing and ask him why he's doing it and why he's screwing up America and why he's a Marxist and is he a danger to America? His policies are dangerous to America. And this story is just one little example of that. And I'll throw it up in the chat room. And people will disagree, and that's fine. But just something to look at and roll around inside of your brain.
Agreed. The climate change is a scam. The whole climate change movement is a scam. Unless the United States scientists know a way to control sunspots and solar flares, there's no way that you're going to correct or change the weather patterns in the United States or the world for that matter. And the other part of it is to further prove that this whole thing is a scam and the Americans are being scammed. You have the useless nations, the United Nations, the UN, talking about how the United States is the wealthiest country in the world. And so here we are in the United States who have to stop building coal fire plants as an example. And yet around the world, there's 1,000 coal fire plants being talked about being built. Japan, South Korea, the Philippines, Turkey, South Africa, the European Union, and the two biggest polluters in the world, aside from Russia, India and China, all building coal fire plants. And in the meantime, the United States, Americans are felt guilty for wanting a coal fire plant, wanting a nuclear plant to produce energy.
Yeah, and there'll be a day when these alternate fuel sources will be on par or less expensive than oil. That day is not here.
Right.
And when that day comes, the market will shift all by itself. And until that day comes, you got to go where it's least expensive. And you know how we love to be right? Because we're right most of the time, and we've been saying for months upon months that China is one of our biggest enemies and that every Chinese person here in the United States is potentially a spy. And we've been saying this over and over because the communist Chinese, any Chinese national that is here in the United States, if the China government goes to them and says, we need you to do this, we need you to spy on your employer, we need you to send us information on this product, whatever it may be. And if they have family back in China, the Chinese government will say, if you don't do this, we will throw your family in prison or kill them.
Mm-hmm.
So potentially every Chinese here in the United States is a potential threat. And we've been saying that, and a lot of people are looking at it, well, that's pretty extreme. Well, a story just came out today or yesterday in the Jerusalem Post. China asks visiting students in Israel to collect information. The Chinese Communist Party asked Chinese students in Israel to collect information on local media as part of a global trend. An official asked students on multiple campuses in Israel to seek out and send Israeli media coverage of the Winter Olympics in Beijing and back to Beijing. Now, this is media coverage, pretty innocuous, but that is a signal that all of those students are potential spies in Israel. Just like Chinese students here in America are potential spies for Beijing. And people need to start understanding that the communist Chinese are our enemies, even though they've compromised both sides of the aisle, from Mitch McConnell all the way over to the Swalwell and Fang Fang. So anyway, that's another interesting little story in the We're Right Again department.
And it's not a little story, though. That's the problem. It's not a little story. I mean, that's huge. A little country like Israel being infiltrated by the Chinese, and now it's known that the Chinese government expects their students, the Chinese students, to send back information about Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened in America? What's happening in America right now?
Well, I mean, take the Confucius Institutes. They're seen by academics as nothing but agents of Chinese services to spy on Chinese and to spy on Americans. And this has been going on, gosh, for years.
It's truly amazing. The Confucius Institute. Oh, Confucius Day. Well, and if you have your family still in China, you know that the oppressive, tyrannical communist government of China doesn't play games. It's not those political correct. I mean, look what Nancy Pelosi instructed Olympic athletes to do. Don't say anything that would offend the Chinese. Fuck you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she did say that. You're right. I forgot about that. And meanwhile, those are the communist Russians. Oh, boy, they were doping their athletes, so they got kicked out of the Olympics, so they changed their name. The whole country, they changed the country's name, and they're allowed to compete, and now they just got busted for Russian athletes doping again.
You can't make this stuff up, man. Well, look, tomorrow night you've got Eric from Kafiris Day with the Cross and the Crescent at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Hank Jones is in the house. Check him out at Hank Jones Poly Sports Wednesdays, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You got Paul Sutliff on Thursday with the Sutliffian Report. Paul is also the author of The Cancer of Civilization Jihad, which you can purchase at his website or at Amazon.com. Friday, Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday. He's on at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, maybe 11 p.m. Eastern as well sometimes. So check out his show on Fridays. Saturday, we have Hassan Madakduk and the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. That show starts. Sunday, Eric Fafiristan is back with his interfaith dialogue. It is the real interfaith dialogue of the Cross and the Crescent, where they actually look at Christianity and Islam. That's 5 p.m. Eastern Time. And Monday, Alan, I'll be back at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Other shows to check out, Blog Talk Radio. We got G-Ski and Dave, Airwaves America. It was nice to hear G-Ski last Friday. He's back, and although he's going through kidney dialysis, but keep him in your prayers. Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, and she's on Blog Talk Radio with her sidekick, Curtis. Do a great job at Southern Sense Talk Radio. Keep Simple Facts of Life, Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time. Wednesdays, if you want a break, Wednesday evenings, if you want a break from politics and Islam and just all this nonsense going, check out the Simone Nicole Show. On Spreaker.com, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. It's a great self-help show. Gives you great ideas on how to improve your lifestyle. And I enjoy listening to it. And I've implemented some stuff. And I bought my almond milk, and I got my cinnamon, and bought some nuts and blueberries. And just anyways, great show, Simone Nicole. Andre Russo, Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time Thursday evenings. Go to ArjoryRusso.com. And of course, Holger made it his second appearance of the year, which is always great to hear. If you didn't catch the show, go to the archives. Holger Awakens. He had a show this past Friday evening, and it was just another great show by Holger. You know, he's back. You know, he likes to gets all pumped up, and he gets a little bit, you know, he sees what's happening, and the Viking gets motivated. So a couple of more cold nights, he might be back again next week. Who knows? Al, any parting shots?
Adios, amigos. We'll see you next Monday. Same place, same
channel.
I want
to thank Bigfoot, Big Patriot. Go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Great blog spot. Bring it on, boy. Golf Dogs, HRV Radio, Hank Jones, Poly Sports, and Sue from New Mexico. Happy Valentine's Day, Sue. You all take care of yourself. Be aware of your surroundings. And let's see what happens in the Ukraine. Is it a false flag? We'll know on Wednesday. We'll That went fast, huh?
Did it ever. Too much news.
Yeah. Wow. And didn't get to that trucker's letter, too. I wanted to read that one.
I messed you up. I threw in the stories.
Oh, my God. You know, just this whole thing with, you know, first of all, I know that some people don't like to hear, you know, on the politics side of it, but, you know, you want to talk about a slam against our democracy, against our republic.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
And that's the thing. You're talking about a slam against our republic. And this whole thing with Trump, very eye-opening. You have a sitting president and vice president who spied on a presidential candidate and an opposition party member. Let's face it, right? It's widely known that Obama was a member of the Democrat Party. He heads the Democrat Party as being president. So that means going after a Republican and spying on a Republican. And Trump knew it. Trump said it. And we heard Leslie Stahl vehemently oppose what President Trump said. Denounced him, just showed disrespect. But that was the whole motive behind the Democrat Party. And it was to show utter contempt and disrespect for President Trump. And now it's coming
isolate
out.
Isolate and destroy. Mm-hmm.
Yes, isolate and destroy. And the manifesto that was written by Jerry Nadler was never give Trump credit. Never recognize him. I mean, that the whole manifesto by the Democrat Party was to never legitimize Donald Trump.
Yep. And it worked. They were very effective.
But all of a sudden, yeah, but you know, and isn't it amazing, Al? Now all of a sudden, things are starting to emerge. Things are starting to come out and slowly eke out.
No, I don't know. It's Durham. I'm so skeptical. It's not even funny. Until I see the first subpoena being issued and the first indictment, then I'll wake up. Because Durham did this to me last time, that cocksucker. and then Mike Pence, he betrayed all of us. Imagine if he didn't certify the election. That would have put all this on number 10 speed on the treadmill. I
still can't get past the Jerry Nadler manifesto, How We Resist Trump. And the very first thing on page one, we must do everything we can to stop Trump and his extreme agenda now. And what was the extreme agenda? That agenda was to promote America. And promote America he did, and make America, you know, independent. Give it back to the people slowly. Now, you weren't going to give everything back to the people. I mean, not that naive. But you know what? You eliminate 27,000 pages of rules and regulations, onerous rules. You spur on, you know, free enterprise and capitalism. And then you make America energy independent. And what we've witnessed over the last year, the last 13 months, is that all being taken away. And taken away rapidly to the point where oil goes from $40 a barrel to $95 a barrel. We're paying $3.50 a gallon, you know, at the pump. California's $5.25 a gallon. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Not to mention this runaway inflation on top of all that.
Yeah.
But I really like that. I like that 60 Minutes piece because since when 60 Minutes loves a scandal. And they will go out of their way to destroy their target. They don't care about journalism. And with Trump, they tried to humiliate him. They would not take him seriously or any of the charges. Oh, you can't talk about that. We can't verify it. It's like, this is 60 Minutes. They don't verify anything if you're a Republican.
What a great
point.
That
was very telling. That was very telling. And I hadn't heard that clip before. That was good.
That's
Leslie Stahl.
Very good.
Oh, come
I
on,
gotta say.
Mr. President.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing?
Mm-hmm. I mean, let me see. I got that. It was a minute, and you know, I just her whole condescending elitist attitude. You know,
I wish you would interview Joe Biden like you interview me. It would be so good. You know what?
I thought you liked this.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. But when I watch him walk out of a store, and he's walking with an ice cream, and the question the media asked him, what kind of ice cream, what flavor ice cream do you have? And he's in the midst of a scandal.
He's not.
And he's taking,
he's
of course
not.
He is,
no.
Leslie.
Come on.
Of course he is. It's the biggest, second biggest scandal.
So
the biggest scandal was when they spied on my campaign. They spied on my campaign.
Well, there's no real evidence of that.
Of course there is. It's all over the place.
Come on,
Leslie. They spied on my campaign and they got caught.
Can I say something? You know, this is 60 Minutes.
Let me sanitize
it. And we can't put on things we can't verify.
You won't put it on because it's bad for Biden.
We can't put on things we can't verify.
Leslie, they spied on my campaign.
Well, we can't verify that.
It's been totally verified.
No.
It's been, just go down and get the papers. They spied on my campaign. They got caught.
No.
And then they went much further than that,
no.
And they got caught. And you will see that, Leslie. And you know that, but you just don't want to put it on the air.
As a matter of fact, I don't know that.
Okay.
No.
She's trying to be all sexy.
They're all just, No. Why would you be honest? No.
Oh, come on, Donald.
I mean, she was, it's just, to listen to her, no.
This is the President of the United States that she's getting an interview with. In 60 Minutes is probably the hardest hitting hit pieces for conservatives, and Trump's not afraid to go on there.
You know, that's it right there, Al. That's what I was trying to think of. Trump isn't afraid. And Trump gave it right back to her. See, that's the thing that really got me was Trump went ahead and went after her. You know, he fought right back.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's what I love about the guy is right. He fought back. And they're not used to that. No. So he should have done a Mitt Romney, which is no. Leslie, you're right. There aren't any facts. In the meantime, the facts were really simple. It was what? The story was coming out that Barack Hussein Satoru Obama was involved in spying on his campaign. The facts were coming out that Hillary Rodham Clinton was involved in possibly spying, but that wasn't confirmed.
Should have been if a news person would be, you've got this documented, Mr. President. We'll take a look at it and come back, and we'll revisit this.
Yeah.
This is a serious charge.
Isn't it amazing?
She blew it off. Yeah, she blew it off. Oh, come on. That's not true.
No.
Biden's not in a scandal. What are you talking about? Good Lord.
Yeah, it was right at the time when his name had diarrhea of the mouth. Oh, my God. I tell you, I love the guy. I just, he wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid to sit there maybe he did thrive on that, you know, but he wasn't afraid to challenge back, to push back and say, yes, this is what happened. And they couldn't stand the guy for that.
Nope. Because he didn't back down. Look at Joe Rogan. The minute he apologized or gave a hint of apology, then they went after him. But now all of a sudden they've kind of let him go. I don't know why.
You know why? I tell you why. Because more and more is coming out about this whole thing. More and more is starting to come out that backs up what he's done, what he said. There's more and more coming out. You can't hide from that fact. The Epic Times article, yesterday I read an article. These doctors, you can go on the line and they'll do those, like Dr. Corey, Pierre Corey is one of them. But this one doctor's group,
has treated over 150,000 people for the China virus. Okay. You know what their success ratio is in this treatment? 99.9%. And so here lies the issue, Al. The issue is really simple. You have a government who's not in the business, does not want to treat people, does not want to treat the symptoms, i.e. the, using therapeutics. They would rather you go in the hospital and you'd rather take the chance of you surviving, but knowing that you would probably die once you're given that, what is it, rosuvastatin, what is it called? I forgot what the name of it.
Something like that. Yeah.
And yet the doctors who are engaged in treating the symptoms of the China virus are having success using what? Hydroxychloroquine, using ivermectin, monoclonal antibodies, and it's proven to start, it's working. 99.99% success rate. And these people are summarily rejected by the government, and yet the truth is starting to come out. It's starting to come out. Their whole freaking life, their whole being is starting to disintegrate around them. The trucker convoy in Canada, the trucker convoy in America, Israel has one, the people uprising in England and Belgium.
And they're starting to back off, too, because it's November elections are coming up. And I guarantee you're going to see the Democrats going, we beat COVID. No more masks, America.
Oh, boy, are you right.
And the Republican leadership will just go right along with it. Yay, no more masks. They finally listen to us. They'll get on Fox News. But all they'll hear is Democrats say no more masks. So no more masks, America.
And then bumbling Biden is still out there talking about insisting on masks.
Mm-hmm. That'll change. I'll bet you a sleeve of Pro V1X. That's how it's going to go down.
I can't even be that.
Cool, plain as day.
Yeah. I have to agree with you on that one. Sorry, I can't take the other side of that. Oh, man. All right. You have a good evening.
All right. You too.
Are you looking at your board right now?
My board?
Are you looking at
the global whatever?
You're looking at the switchboard right now?
Yeah, I'm on it right now.
Mine just went. Everything's gone except for the chat room and my one audio clip. I mean, I got no telephone, nothing.
Really? I've got the full thing. It says it's.
Is Sue still on
recording? Sue is still on. Hello, Sue?
I don't see you. I don't see me. I don't see Sue. I got no telephone, nothing. Everything's gone.
Sue? Anybody home? Sue? I just turned your phone on.
All right. Well, have a good evening. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yep.
Ciao.
Sue, how are you? Hello? Sue, I can hear you. I guess she must be listening from another room or something.
Hi.
Oh, hello.
Yes.
There you are. We wanted to say hello and goodbye.
Oh, okay. Well, hello and goodbye. It was a good show.
Thank you.
If you can't get the show out, text me because I'm not that much on Twitter anymore.
Okay.
And I can get your snow out for you.
Well, thank you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Anything you want to get out, text me. I get alarms on my phone with the text.
Okay. How are you?
I will do that.
How are you feeling?
Not too good the last couple of days, but anyway, you know, that's what it is. But enjoyed your show, and thank you.
Well, thank you,
Sue. Thank you. And happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, yes. You too. Happy Valentine's Day. Bye.
You take care.
All right,
thank
well,
you.
I hope you feel better. You're in our prayers.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, thanks, Al. Thanks for doing that. That's really cool.
Yeah. Sue's awesome. I like her.
I do, too. She has some great tweets she's been sending out, too. So I got to get back on, what is it, Getter? What the heck is it called? Yeah, Getter.
Yeah, you told me about that. Is it still, is it good, Getter?
Yeah, it's not bad at all. I mean, and you know what? You don't have the speech controls that you have under Twitter. So yeah,
it's funny because on Twitter, I put in some of the keywords from Dr. Dre's song from the Super Bowl, and they said this violates all of our standards. You can press post, but it's going to be a problem.
I'm sorry. That is funny.
Yeah. Oh, how'd you like my rendition of Dr. Dre's song?
I think it was ghetto voice. It was pretty white of you.
Me and Eminem with blood.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, and
God.
I found out more on the kneeling thing. Goodell told Eminem, don't kneel. But Eminem said, fuck, F you, and did it anyway. Like, that wasn't going to happen. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So there was some interest. That was an interesting little detail. To leave it to the lone white guy to cause trouble for everybody else.
Yeah. And for what reason? For what reason? There's no you know what? There's no oppression in America. I'm sorry it's all made up by Black Lives Matter. But you know what? The NFL deserves it because you know they decided to align themselves with the wokeness in America, and now they're reaping what they sowed. And here it is. You put the words out on Twitter, and now you violated Twitter's standards and. And somehow the NFL was accepting of that of those verses. Wow.
Comical in a very sad way. I'm done with the NFL now.
Me too. I mean, this halftime show was pathetic. I'm sorry. You have people and that's the verse that's the song that the woke NFL allowed to be aired. Oh my God. Just it's disgusting.
Yeah. And these are the same anti-police people.
Yeah.
So go figure. Then they had they had guys dancing in prison garb. It was really. And then Blige with those boots. I mean, come on.
You watched it?
Well, yeah, I watched half of it. I didn't watch the beginning. And then I turned it on, and I was like, honey, you got to come in here and watch this. She came in, and she's like, oh, my God.
Oh, man. God almighty. I tell you, I just don't get it. Honestly, I don't get it. And here it is. You've got baseball, and hockey, NHL and the Yankees, you know, taking down the statue of Kate Smith and terminating God Bless America, Kate Smith's rendition of Yankee Stadium, because she used the term she sung about pickaninnies, using the term pickaninnies. And then Eminem is put front and center, and he's spewing his hate and his derogatory racist rants.
I mean, that's just unbelievable.
Oh, and the new coach for Miami?
Yeah.
Now calls himself multiracial.
Oh, who is that?
What the hell's his name? I don't know. I don't have him in front of me. There's that whole controversy with the one black coach that got overlooked, and then, God, what the hell's his name? I already put it, this last week, I already put it out of my head, and then Hank would know all the details for sure.
I'll ask him. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, so now the new coach for Miami is, he identifies as being multiracial. He looks like a white guy. It's hilarious. maybe Hispanic, maybe a little Hispanic, but
oh my God, you couldn't make this stuff up.
No, but it's bad for our country.
Yeah, it really is. You know, especially when you have the garbage that was spewed last night. That's unforgivable. I'm sorry. That was just unforgivable.
Mm-hmm. Then with golf, you got people throwing beer can. I mean, I thought that was horrible behavior as well, but they almost encouraged it.
Yeah, you know, it's because the persona of golf is that you have your stuffed shirt.
Elitist.
Yeah, you're a stuffed shirt. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't going to happen. Guess what? It's not going to happen over at the Masters. Somebody gets a hole in one on number 16, the people go crazy, and that's the extent of it.
Yeah, as it should be. Cheering. Mm-hmm. So the other players who are coming up on 12 and 13 and 14 hear the cheers and go, uh-oh, somebody just made an eagle. And then that's a part of the game too, because then it gets in your head. And you try
that's
that
right.
A little bit extra harder, and then that's how mistakes happen. It's a whole thing. It's a thing. I know how mistakes happen.
Hey, we all do.
You less so. Me more so.
Oh, I make my shares of mistakes.
We'll see what happens tomorrow.
Yeah. Yep. And then, of course, it'd be Wednesday's the D-Day for Ukraine. So be kind of curious to see if...
All right. So what do you think? Invasion or no invasion?
I'm still of the opinion now. I'm of the opinion now that there's no invasion. And
okay.
I'm also of the opinion that we are going to see a diplomatic solution
mm-hmm.
to Ukraine. And what's going to happen is, Joe Biden is going to get credit for thwarting war with Ukraine and thwarting the invasion from his diplomatic
mm-hmm.
prowess. That's what I'm thinking.
I like that. Then you got the Israelis sending the plane over, so I'm going to stick with my Israeli friends, and I'll take the other side of that.
Okay.
I'm make a $5 bet on that.
Yeah, I'll go a $5 bet.
All right, we'll even go 3 days. How about that? 72 hours instead of 48.
The reason I said Wednesday is because that's what was reported out of Ukraine, that that Putin was going to invade
mm-hmm.
Ukraine on Wednesday.
All right, you want to take it? What day you want to take it out to? Friday or 1 week from today, next Monday, this time, same time?
I'll say out to Friday.
Friday? Friday it is.
Yeah. All right.
$5. You're on.
Okay.
But I think you're going to win this one.
Because I think what's going to happen is Wednesday comes and goes. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Follow me on this one.
This is how this is how suspect I am of this administration.
Yeah.
Okay. So more is going to come out about the Durham investigation. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This whole week. And okay. Then you're going to have the DNC outlets like ABC, NBC, CNN, all those acronyms are going to have to cover 30 seconds of it, make mention of it, because it's starting to trend, you know, really heavy. Okay. Wednesday comes, nothing happens in Ukraine. Friday comes, all of a sudden the Russian troops are leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Friday night is their news source. The DNC releases all of the, you know, releases the talking points for the weekend. So what tops Saturday and Sunday shows? What tops it? Biden's diplomatic efforts result in Russian President Putin backing down out of Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
He saves the world. That's what it is. And then Monday, a poll will come out, and instead of Biden being at 22%, he'll be at 48%. That's what I see.
Yeah, if I was a Democrat, I wouldn't write it up any other way. With the New York Times in your back pocket, odds are pretty good it's going to go that way.
Yeah, and since we have someone at Fox News who listens to the show, let's see if it makes any, you know, not that we would get credit for it, just say they needed, you know, something that would come out.
Well, we will see.
Yes.
All right, well, you have a good evening. Sue,
thank you.
You take care. Have a great week.
All right, Al. Have a good one.
Bye for now.
That's all, folks.